Hey yo, and here we go, another episode of We Talk Music on the Air and in Your Ear. I am, once again, one of the metal nerds, the crown prince of charisma, Mo. With me is the king of the casters, chief defender of the faith. He is Mr. Brett Podcast. Brett, how's it going?
Rock on. Yeah.
Rock on. Rock on. If you want to rock on, we're probably not the guys, but if you do, I know somebody who's a good guy to do it. Sir, we have a guest on. Sir, will you please introduce yourself? Who are you and why are you awesome?
Ronnie Parks from Bonfire. I don't have any Sultan of Swing and the I don't know. I'm just trying to come up with something like you guys had. You had those cool
titles. Oh man, I've gone from Limp Dick of Canada to Crown Prince of Charisma. I mean, I've been working at it for years, so you don't put any pressure on yourself.
Yeah, it takes time to let these things kind of sink in.
Yeah. I'm like, that one doesn't seem to be getting me a lot of fans. That other one, so
yeah.
You tried, but you know it.
Absolutely. Well, obviously, you're here to talk about your new album, Temple of Lies, just released, yes. And we had a chance to listen, of course. And it's a kick-ass album. Honest to God, it's like that's a kick-ass album. So, tell us about the album, the production, how it came together, and what's going on with it.
Cool. This is Bonfire's 17th album, I think. The biggest album was in 1987. We had an album called Fireworks, and that was the biggest worldwide success that we had. And then in 2001, there was another chart album, and this one just came out Friday, and we hit number 29 on the official German charts. So we're all really excited about that. And when we started this album, we did it right here in Ingolstadt, Germany. The band is from Germany, in case anyone doesn't know. And we did it. Actually, it was more real. I've done other albums in the past where, you know, I live in the USA, even though the band is here from Germany. So I'm the only American member of the band. But I've done a lot of other albums where I'm in the U.S. and somebody's in Sweden and somebody's in France and they mix it in Austria. And you don't have the same thing as when everybody's together in the same room and you record it. And that's how we did this album, which was really cool about it. That's one of the cool things about it.
No, I mean, it's definitely, you can tell it has a sense of cohesion on the album. And I think that's really good. I mean, I have to be honest, because I mean, it's, you know, the strength of character and stuff for being able to keep a band together for this long and to manage to put out 17 albums, especially, you know, of this type, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a long ride. I mean, this configuration of Bonfire, there has been some member changes in the past, and this is our second album with this configuration, with the singer, and everybody's exactly the same. And we've kind of developed our own sound. The last album that we had with this lineup was called Bite the Bullet, and that was the previous one to this. And that also got really good reviews, but we ended up switching labels in the middle of the album being released. So it didn't quite get its legs like it should have, you know? I mean, we got a lot of good reviews on it and everything, but it never really, it didn't do much because we had so many problems with the label, you know?
Yeah, I really like Bite the Bullet as well. Like, I do think right now that this band, that the current incarnation of Bonfire, is amazing. Like, Alex Stahl is killer.
Yeah, he's really, you know what I really love about him is his voice has such character. There's nobody who really sounds like him, where, you know, I've played with many of other people that are great singers and they have a lot of attitude and everything, but you could always say, oh, they sound like David Coverdale, or they sound like this person or that person, where Alex really doesn't sound like anybody else. I can't think of one person that he sounds like.
You know? And the thing about him is, I listen to him, I think there's nothing he can't do with his voice. There's absolutely nothing he doesn't seem to be able to achieve. And that's, you know, just, he's really a crazy talent.
He's a great guy too. He's really like a team player and easy to get along with, you know. I mean, the whole thing about being in a band and touring and stuff, it's not always about how great of a player you are, because there's people who are amazing players, but if you can't be in the same room with them for more than 4 hours, you know, things are going to fall apart eventually, you know? So with Alex and the way the band is right now, everybody gets along great. We're all really good friends. And, I mean, there's no drama, you know, which is great on one hand, but then of course, you know, there's no excitement without all the drama.
A little bit of drama, Rock Band without drama. That's like, you know, yeah, ocean like, without what? Water, isn't it?
Yeah, no, but it's really good, man. And we're all really happy. We're all really happy with the album. And hopefully it just keeps going.
Now, one thing I'll say is that both Bite the Bullet and Temple of Lies clock in at over an hour. Is it just that you have a wealth of songs and that you just are like, wow, we want to put all a lot of songs on the album?
Well, you know what it is? It's like we say, okay, well, now we have to do this album. And then we start working on it. Once we know we have to do it, then we start working on it. Like we're also doing, we're doing a play in next year in 2019 here in Ingolstadt, Germany. And it's a play based on an ancient folk story from Germany about called the Nibelungen. It's my German's not so great, but that's the name. And it's like this whole like he was a great warrior and he took a bath in dragon's blood. And you know, so we have to write an album for this play because we're writing music. So we don't really start until we know we have to do it. So it was kind of the same thing with this. We, you know, once we signed to AFM, which is a great label, and we're really happy with, you know, we had to put out a new album. So we just decided to start writing. And as many songs as we ended up getting, that's how many get on the album. You know, so of course you can't stop at five or something. But we just keep writing, yeah.
I've seen a few bands stop at five and then just find a way to rework them over and over.
Yeah.
I hear that play. That sounds awesome too. Brad, I think unfortunately we're going to have to move to Germany the way things are sounding.
I know. Because when you think about it, like Bonfire, you know, charting top 40 band there and an awesome sounding play, plus, you know, an album in 2017, an album in 2018. I'm in. All right. We're moving to Germany. So tell us, Ronnie, what was the beer cheap here?
The beer is very cheap here.
I know. Actually, you know what? I was born in Denmark, and I know the Danes will go. They'll go down there, and you know, I live here in Canada now. But the Danes will go down there and buy a bunch of the cheap beer and go back to Denmark. So that's, yeah.
Yeah, and the quality is amazing. But it's just, everybody drinks beer. I think you're allowed to drink beer here at like 14.
Yeah.
Correct.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, so, you know, you could loose, right? As opposed to the U.S., you have to be 21 to drink a beer. Mm-hmm. You know, but over here it's 14, so it's like normal. It's normal to have beer, so everybody drinks beer, and the quality of beer is excellent. So when you come to Germany, you have to drink the beer.
Well, you know, we may.
It's not going to take much arm twisting with you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know. Oh no! How terrible. So, what was the culture shock like then to join a band in Germany?
Actually, it was really cool. I think maybe not the first time, but there was one time when it was one of the first. I've been coming here now for about like 5 years, so I really kind of got used to it. And I have a bicycle here and a water cooker and some things, you know, because I stay for long periods. But when I first came, to try to take a train by myself was insane. I couldn't find anything. I didn't know where anything was, where I was going, and I just had to keep asking people. But luckily, a lot of people speak English here, so it was. I eventually found my way, but it was kind of a bit of a culture shock. But now I'm used to it. I can go anywhere I want and go into a store and order food, and I know what to say and what to do, you know. So now I'm kind of used to it now. So now I'm from the United States of Bavaria.
Nice.
Yeah, you don't need to have another member of the band join you every time you go out or something.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. So it's 2015. You joined the band, right? And how did you come to join Bonfire?
I was in another band, and I was working with the singer. And we got a call to go to Germany to work with this guy, Hans Ziller, who was the mastermind of Bonfire, but Bonfire was kind of falling apart at the time. Everybody wasn't getting along anymore. They were having problems with shows and all kinds of things. So he wanted to take a little bit of a break, and he started a band that he had back in the 90s called Easy Living. So I came over here and we did a tour with that. We played for a year. We put out an album. And eventually Bonfire just went apart, and Hans bought the name, and he kept me with him. So I've been here ever since.
That's pretty lucky, because, you know, I don't think people here in North America kind of understand Bonfire's legacy and reputation in Germany and Europe. And you know, even how the band has continued to, in many ways, you know, I know that their best-selling album might have been in the 80s, but the popularity and recognition has kind of grown worldwide and still seems to. It seems like the band is just getting started in some ways.
Yeah, I mean, Bonfire was the same category as Scorpions and Accept. And they toured. They did the Judas Priest Painkiller tour all over Europe. They did the whole European tour. They played with ZZ Top and Whitesnake, and they were on the biggest TV shows and the radio shows and everything. So Bonfire really established themselves here, you know, in the 80s. And now it's still refreshed now. Everything is new. When we first started doing it in 2015, it was like, well, it's not the same members. It's not really Bonfire, you know, but people would still come see us, and people liked it. But there was still that group of people that were like, you know, I don't like Sammy Hagar and Van Halen. You know, it's not Van Halen anymore. It was that same thing, you know. But now it's like people really like Alex. People really like the band. People really like the albums that we just put out. So it's going in a good direction.
Yeah, there's no question, because and I think, you know, maybe like Van Halen probably got some of it, because Sammy had such a different vocal style from David Lee Roth, and yeah. I think that in this case, I mean, you've changed vocal styles in the band, and now, I mean, with Alex, of course, given the fact that he can do everything, it seems that that, I mean, you're much better. It strikes me that you're a lot better off, but.
Yeah, I mean, in 2015, we actually had an American singer. So, and his style was very, very different than Klaus Lessmann, who was the original singer of Bonfire. And, you know, Alex is a lot closer to Klaus, and also he's German. So, you know, he gets to mingle with the fans a lot better, and, you know, gets his points across from stage in German that everybody understands, you know, so that definitely helps too.
And the American singer you're talking about, of course, is a former guest on the show himself, David Rees.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And we've kept in contact with him. He's just a great guy, and we've had a lot of fun with him on the show and everything. Mm-hmm. We actually asked him if he had any stories about you, he could tell us that we could surprise you with. And he's like, none I could share. None I could share at all.
So I told him that we were going to have to get the stories from you. So what are the stories?
Yeah, go ahead.
If he said that, embarrass him, please. I don't have anything to share either.
I mean, I can't imagine you don't have a few David Rees stories, having talked to him ourselves.
Nah.
We get it.
Yeah, I mean, David's a great singer, and you know, nothing against him, and best of luck to him. Things just didn't end well for either side, so it just kind of, you know, I'd rather not talk about him.
Oh no, that's totally fair. That is totally fair. I am interested in like, not him in this case, but like with the other bands, and especially like when it comes to Seven Witches and stuff like that, and you playing. Is there a different style of bass playing that you would have in Seven Witches versus Bonfire?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, actually, yeah, it's a little more. I play a little more for the song in Bonfire, not so much like, you know, hey, check out what I can do, or like, I really want this part to go be insane, you know. And some of the past bass player, like, you know, Michael Pond, He's in Symphony X. And now he's playing with Ross the Boss. He plays with everybody. He's a great bass player. So, you know, when I was in the band after him, I had to kind of follow, you know, I had to make some great bass parts too, you know. So with Seven Witches, I kind of had to do that. And I tried to get a more aggressive sound and stuff like that. Also, Joey Vera from Armored Saint was also in Seven Witches. So, you know, a bunch of great bass players. So I had to step in, you know, I had to put the shoes on. Where in Bonfire, it's more about the songs. We just try to make really good songs, really like our little trademarks with the catchy hooks and the choruses, you know. And so it's more song focused in Bonfire. And in Seven Witches, I don't want to say it was more about me playing my bass, but it was it's just a different style of music. It's a little bit heavier, you know.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I was just thinking that because as I was listening to the new Bonfire album, knowing that we were gonna talk to you, I was listening for the bass, and I mean, it's definitely it's working itself into the song in that regard. And then when I was listening to Seven Witches, I was just like, oh, I can definitely hear the bass. You know, it seems to be a lot more out front.
I guess. as soon as I in Seven Witches, if you know, I got a spot where the music slowed down. Then I was like, you know, okay, I'm taking off. I'm going somewhere, you know, where in Bonfire, it's like, you know, okay, well, this is the lyrical pause, you know, so don't play anything, you know, it's that different type of thing. It's really more for the song, which in the end is really the important part, you know, it's all about the
song. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and Bonfire just feels like, and again, I'm not disparaging Jack Frost in any way, but Bonfire feels more like a cohesive band, whereas Seven Witches feels like, you know, Jack Frost's project that he, you know, and people come and go, but he's always going to be there to keep it going.
Yeah. I mean, right now Bonfire is kind of that. We are really like a band right now. I mean, of course, it's Hans Zimmer's band. He's been in since 1972, actually. Bonfire was a band called Cucumen before Bonfire. So Hans is the main staple that's always been here, and he was always the main songwriter. So, you know, this is his band too, but we're more of a band here. You know, he doesn't tell anybody what to do. Not that Jack did that either. But, yeah, I mean, I can see what you're saying with Jack, because it was so many different players and so many different singers. You know,
yeah. So tell us about songwriting. So you say that Hans does the vast majority. Do you help out in any of the bands? Are you
actually when David left Bonfire, being the American speaker in the band, they said, "Well, you want to try to write the lyrics?" So I said, "Yeah, okay." You know, I never really wrote lyrics. I wrote songs before, of course, but I never really wrote lyrics. So I said, "Yeah, sure, let me try." You know. And I wrote the lyrics on Bite the Bullet and also this album. I wrote all the lyrics. So now I'm in a new area for me, you know, which is great.
That's fascinating, actually. Yeah. No, I didn't realize that. I mean, because there's so many bands out there that are, you know, in Europe that, you know, and the population is generally, you know, European population speaks English often better than we do. Yeah, and so we kind of just assumed that somebody else in the band was doing the lyrics, but it makes sense actually that it would be you, and yeah, that's really cool to hear.
Yeah, it's actually really cool. I mean, you know, of course they all speak German. Well, Alex, his German isn't as good as some of the other guys in the band, so he has problems sometimes getting his point across in English. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that he doesn't have the point to make; it's just that he sometimes can't get it across in English so easily. So that's why it came to the, you know, not the fault, but you know, I got the opportunity to try it and it worked. So,
so then if you're writing the lyrics, has the song title already kind of come together? Is the, obviously the music is there. Do you understand is there some discussion on kind of the topic of the song, or what it is you're trying to achieve, or is it kind of just whatever comes to you?
Sometimes Hans gives me like an idea, like, you know, oh, this would be a cool love song, you know, something about love, like maybe, you know, a guy leaving a girl or something like that. And then I make it from that. And other times it's like, you know, I come up with the whole concept just from wherever, you know, and usually it's something that happens. Like I was here so long, I come here and I stay here sometimes for like 3 months. So the last time when we were writing this album, actually, my aunt passed away. My girlfriend's aunt passed away. So that was the inspiration for On the Wings of an Angel.
Mm, and I like that song. One of my favorites. So that's
yeah. And the same thing with the ballad. I mean, it was like, you know, I have a daughter at home and, you know, I figured what about a song? Like at first when we wrote Coming Home, it was supposed to be like, you know, the children and the planet and all this stuff. That was the original idea. But then it was like, what about a song that's a letter? You know, what if I could write a letter song like Cats in the Cradle or something, you know? And that's where I went actually with Coming Home. That's what it is. It's kind of like a letter. And, you know, one is the parent talking to the child. And I make up the whole story all the way to the end. Like, you know, the guy is traveling and he writes a letter to his kid. And then he dies and then the kid gets the letter. That was the idea.
Do they, do the members, anybody else in the band say, can you change this? Can you change that? Is there a lot of tweaking with your lyrics after you have them written?
No, not really. I mean, just only when Alex is singing them. So when we're in the studio, sometimes it'll be like, you know, I'll say, can we do this? You know, do it this way. And I'll give him the melody and everything. And then he'll be like, well, yeah, this doesn't work for me. How about, can we say this? And I'll be like, okay, yeah, that works. We can say that. Or sometimes they'll say something. And because of the translations, like, it doesn't work. Like, in English, like, you'd be like, what?
Yeah.
So I said, well, you have to say this. And it's funny because that's actually the other song, I Love the Way You Hate Me. Originally, he's like, the title was going to be I Help You Hate Me. And I'm like, but that doesn't make sense in English. It just doesn't sound right.
I don't know. That's kind of how I feel about Brett.
But the concept is the same. It's just that, you know, you have to tweak the lyrics to fit with the concept sometimes, you know? So yeah, that's basically how all the lyrics on all the songs are.
So it's the last album you started doing the lyrics in. The very first song that you wrote the lyrics for was what then?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. It was on Bite the Bullet, and I don't know which one it was.
You don't know which one? Well, okay. How about those early albums or those, whatever the early songs were? How as a lyricist do you think you progressed from when you started doing the last album on Bite the Bullet to the end of this album?
Well, the thing that I find is that it's really hard to make a deep statement but be so deep that nobody knows what the hell you're talking about. It's very easy to do that, you know? Like you could say, oh, I'm as heavy as a stone on a, you know, sinking in the water through, but you start keep going on that and it's like, okay, so you're singing about a rock going underwater. What are you talking about? You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's a fine line between saying it simply and getting your point across, but still like saying something clever. You know, so it's actually like I find it really challenging. I really like it a lot.
Yeah, no, that's fascinating. I think you're probably just going to get better and better at it as you go. And that's kind of, now that I know that, I'm going to definitely be following that particular kind of evolution for you. Maybe at some point, I imagine at some point then when you start writing lyrics, this is something that's new for you.
Yeah.
There might even be a point where you decide, the lyrics I write or what I want to write is coming to you more often and it's for a different type of project or a different type of band or a solo project even.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I'm of course working at it to get it better. Like sometimes I'll hear a line, I'll be like, oh, that'd be great in a song. You know, like it's just like something cool. But then, you know, you hear something like, so to say like, you know, rising from the phoenix from the ashes, you're like, okay, I've heard that so many times before. Can I use it? You know what people say? It's just like this album. Like I sit there and I go, "Was I too simple?" Are people going to say, "Well, man, those lyrics are just so childish. It's so simple," you know? And you sit there and you struggle with that because it's like, well, I do anyway. I'm like, you know, I want people to like it. I'm trying my best, you know, and I'm trying to be simple, but still trying to be hard. And so how do you do it? There's no, you know, there's no answer.
I never thought about the psychology behind the lyrics in the way that before that, you know, that we are right now that we're discussing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also learned that, you know, like one of the things I heard somewhere, and I don't know if it was Billy Joel or somebody said, the first line of the song is the hardest because you have to, what you're supposed to do in a song is you have to make the listener picture what's happening. So the first line is super important because you're putting the person into the situation, whatever the song is about. So with that, you know, you could sing like, you know, I woke up in the morning and I looked out the window. Mm-hmm. Or what did I see? You know, this type of thing, or it's in the dead of the night or something. So that's always difficult too. To come up with the first line of the song, you know.
Yeah, you probably could go back and keep rewriting that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or you get the whole concept, sure, right. And then it's like, it's just that starting point. So you have to start. Once you start, then you can keep going. But it's like, okay, I have to write this song, and I'm going to make it about this. How do I start?
Yeah,
you know, and that becomes really difficult, and that's a challenge. But then once you get it, then the whole song comes, you know. And same thing with the chorus. It's like the chorus has to be really strong and memorable. And should it rhyme so much? Should it rhyme every other line? Should it rhyme every line? If does it rhyme too much? You know, you start wondering all these things. And I don't know. I felt like it just really flows really well on Temple of Lies. The lyrics just really flow really well. And some of them are really maybe simple. And some of them are like, I wish I could have went back and rewrote that line, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It is what it is. You know, when you do it, that's what happens. Yeah.
Well,
yeah. I mean, you've always got to be willing to put it out there at a certain point.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what you're doing. You're putting it out there. And then, you know, will people like it? Are people going to make fun of you? You know, what's going to happen? You don't know, you know. So you have to just kind of do it, and you know, hopefully people like it, you know.
And the opening song then in the beginning is not, you know, it's not obviously a typical song. It's setting the mood for the album.
Yeah, I wrote that whole piece too. That's
what I was wondering.
Piece I wrote. Yeah, I wrote that too. Because it was like, you know, we didn't want to, like, we've done it before where you take a little verse from the Bible or something, or you do something, you know, and then you could kind of make the song about that. So actually the Temple of Lies, the whole concept is about a manager that we had. Mm-hmm. And, well, you guys are in Canada, so I guess he can't sue me.
But not likely.
His name is Willie. His name was Willie. So we're like, well, maybe if we use "Will He," then we can really be singing about him. And that's what we did. That's what the. And if you know it's about the manager, then all of a sudden it's like, oh man, the song makes sense now. I get it.
I totally have to go back and read the lyrics.
It is. It's probably it's probably the heaviest, most aggressive song on the album.
Yeah, it was a really bad situation.
Yeah, so, no, but that makes sense then. Now it's like, okay, all right. Because I was wondering why it was just so, you know, man, it's a great way to, like, you know, grab people by the throat and get their attention on the album. And I love the start between that and the spoken word piece at the beginning. Yeah, but yeah, now that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it was, you know, it was a really bad breakup type thing. And we kind of wanted to, you know, I mean, songs are the best when they're actually about something that's real and something that really happened. Then you really get the best song because it's a real thing. It's a real emotion. So with this song, it was the same situation. You know, we wanted an intro. So that's why we did the whole beginning part. That wasn't really part of the song in the beginning. And we made that just so that, you know, now we're going to use this as an opener, and the song is really cool and it's coming out great, but we need more in the beginning part of it. So we added to the beginning, you know? And that's how that whole part came out. And then we needed some spoken word. Like, we were like, wow, it'd be really great if it had some spoken word in here. So then I wrote about, a temple, like if it was, some ancient secret Bible thing, and, like it was a temple, like if it's a church, yeah. It's a temple. So it had to be kind of biblical, but so that's what we came up with.
No, it's awesome. That's awesome.
I gotta ask about, I'll butcher the name, the Friedensreich.
Oh, Friedensreich. Yeah, well, actually there's a bonus track on the Temple of Lies. Like we started this on Bite the Bullet. Since I've been coming here with Hans in 2014, my German is obviously really bad. So he would say stuff, and he talks in English, but he also has the Bavarian accent. So he would say stuff, and every once in a while, when he's telling me something or talking to me, he doesn't know the word for something. Like just for example, like a door. Of course, he knows what a door is, but if there's something like a door, so he'll say it in German, and he'll be like, "What's the word?" And he'll say it in German, and then he'll make me repeat it. and then this became like a joke, so he started recording it because it was so funny, because they would crack up the way that I say it in German. So then we passed there's this famous architect from here, and he's an artist, and his name is Friedensreich Hundertwasser. And he said it, and he said, go ahead, say it. And I was like, at the time I couldn't say it at all. So it became the joke, and they started laughing. And then Hans decided to put it on the album as like a little bonus track as a joke. And so this time he wanted to do it again, but Hans never does anything halfway. He does everything whole way. So he did a 20-minute track of this stuff. Like it's basically everything that we've been doing on the road for the past 4 or 5 years, and it's all little stories that we told. Like, he told me a story about when he was they played Rocklahoma in, like, I don't know what year it was, maybe 2000 or 1999 or something, and they played Rocklahoma, and his guitar became unplugged. He had a wireless system, so in America, of course, they don't know what he's talking about in German. So he's going, direct nahe, which means plug it directly in. Just take the wire and plug it in. But he's saying it in German in the middle of the show, and the guy had no idea what he's talking about. So that's even in this little bonus track thing that he did. Well, now, so it's like, now he really sense. Went, yeah, he really, like, there's, and there's all stuff from our cultures, and there's a little piece with something from Hitler saying something from Trump saying something from Putin saying something.
It's pretty much all the same person, isn't it?
No. So it's just, it doesn't mean anything. It's just like from our cultures, and sometimes there'll be a joke or something that somebody says, and about a Trump or Putin or whatever. So, all these little things just kind of, he made a 20-minute track of this, and the band didn't even really hear it until it was finished. So, yeah.
I love the fact as well that it has, snippets of other songs, like you've taken Warrant's Bonfire Song and thrown that in.
Well, yeah, the story is because, Hans owns the copyrights to Bonfire. Yeah. So when they came out, he sued them because he can't use Bonfire, and that's what that whole thing is about.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
So so everything in there is really what's been going on. It's like 20 minutes of 5 years compact into Hans's brain for 20 minutes.
It is a special kind of crazy.
It really is. It really is. And some people are like reading stuff into it. There was some guy on Amazon, I think in the UK or something, had how people write reviews. Somebody's like, "I can't believe you used Hitler's speech, and you're giving him a platform." I'm like, "I'm not giving Hitler a platform. Are you kidding me?"
That's like saying you're giving Trump a platform.
Yeah, and I mean, they don't even say anything that makes any sense, like, or any kind of point. It's just something maybe they said.
It's the internet.
Yeah, it's just random nonsense.
Yeah.
That's funny. I just found it fascinating from a sheer, it's just, you know, complete boiled down into like one song of
it's total madness. Yeah, it's total madness.
Yeah.
It doesn't even really make any sense. It's more of an inside thing.
But now it makes more sense to us. Like, because I found it entertaining.
Now you get it. Yeah.
So one thing I was interested about is when you're recording the album, obviously there's you do have the singable choruses and stuff like that. So how do you do the background vocals in the studio? Does everybody join in on that?
Yeah, well, one of the early Bonfire albums, I think it actually probably was Fireworks, they worked with the producer Michael Wagner. He's worked with a lot of big bands in the 80s and stuff.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So he has a certain style of doing choruses where you have everybody sing one note, and then everybody sing another note, and then everybody sing another note. So then you got, like, before you know it, you have 100 people singing, you know? And we also had another guy join us, a guy here from Germany, and we also had Alessandro Del Vecchio do some background vocals. He's really amazing. He's from Hardline, the band Hardline.
Yeah, I love Hardline.
Yeah, and I mean, he's just a vocal genius, man. This guy really, he really is great. And today is his birthday. So Facebook, send them a happy birthday.
Unfortunately, this won't be up right away.
Yeah.
But the day we record this is his birthday.
So you know what? Today is April 21st. So feel free to send him a message on Facebook next year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
But we'll put this up before next year.
Oh, well, man. Maybe. You know, now there's no rush.
There's no rush now.
Well, actually, there is a rush because we want you to tell people about the upcoming tour, because you were telling us off air a little bit about it. And as soon as we heard it, we're like, so, you know, I'm ready to jump in the ocean and swim all the way over to Europe to awesome. Get to see this.
I mean, we're starting, we actually leave on Friday. We leave for Sweden. We're playing a festival in Stockholm. Michael Schenker's on it. Actually, we go on right before him. And that should be a really cool festival. There's a bunch of great bands on there. And then we go from there, we go to Minsk, and we're playing in Minsk, and we're doing like a Harley Davidson festival in Minsk. And then, we come back to Germany, and then we start on the 1st and we tour till the 15th straight through. No breaks.
Wow. Yeah.
That's going to be rough. Well, yeah. It's mostly rough for the singer. No, that's the hardest part.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's interesting. Like, what's the touring like then in Germany? Like, do you get over to the States very much, or is that just pretty much special occasions?
Well, yeah, I mean, we'd love to get Bonfire over into the States, especially now. Even Canada would be great. So if you guys could put in a word for us, that'd be awesome. But I mean, you know, Bonfire is established here in Europe and in Germany. So there really hasn't been much reason for us to try to really go over there, you know, because it's kind of set here already. But we want to go there now. Now the band is fired up. You know, we're really happy with the albums. We're really happy with everything that we're doing. The band gets along so well, and now we want to do more. So now we're interested in coming. So put some feelers out for us and get us some shows.
If it was up to us, we would. Absolutely.
If we could, then we would. Boy, oh boy. So tell us about Bonfire and Friends then, A Night with Rock Legends, because that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. It's in November. We're doing 20 dates, and it's called Bonfire and Friends. We have Jolyn Turner, Phil Moog from UFO, Bobby Kimball from Toto, who else is on it? Jeff Tate is on it. Dave Bickler. Hans just showed up. Say hi, Hans.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, wow, Hans. Wow.
He just showed good up. To have you on the show.
He just showed up. So, yeah, I mean, it's really going to be an awesome tournament. Basically, Alessandro's not on that, but Johnny Gioli from Hardline is on that.
He's singing. Wow.
Who else? We have Robin Beck, James Christian, the mighty Paul Morris. You know who Paul Morris is?
The name rings a bell.
He's a keyboard player. He played in Rainbow. He was in Trans-Siberian Orchestra. He was in Doro.
Oh, right. That's it.
Yes. He was in a bunch of stuff, but he's always been doing the keyboards. He did the keyboards on Temple of Lies and Bite the Bullet. And he's been working on us since. He was also in the Easy Living Band. So
right.
Yeah. So it's, there's a nice history there. So he's also included in this Bonfire and Friends, and it's really going to be great. It's really going to be a cool tour. We're going to play some of our songs, and then songs from everybody that's singing. You know, like Joe will do some Rainbow songs and stuff. And I don't know. Did you hear about Joe? What happened? Joe had a heart attack.
Oh no!
Yeah, Joe had a heart attack in Minsk, actually. But he just put out a statement today that he's doing better. He's in stable condition. We did hear that some of the shows got canceled for the summer because he needs to kind of take a little bit of a rest. But as of right now, everything is still go, and he's on for November, so he's going to be there. And which actually might be cool because it'll be his triumphant return.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and he's a legend.
Yeah,
he's a true legend.
So good.
You know,
so good.
You. Yeah. I mean, how about you know? You're over there now. You're hanging with these legends, him and Michael Schenker and Hans. And did you ever? Yeah. Is that still kind of a surreal thing to be, you know, rubbing shoulders with these guys?
It kind of really is. Some things are kind of funny because to me, like, I don't know how, but some things I never heard of. So there'll be people that I'll talk to, and I really wasn't familiar with that song or that band. And like, you know who that is? And I'm like, no. So you know, I obviously everybody is just a person anyway, you know.
Yeah, it's true.
Just because they're famous doesn't really mean anything. But yeah, I mean, it's cool to, like, you know, Jeff Tate, I was a big Queensryche fan. So to be able to play on stage with Jeff Tate is going to be awesome, and Bobby Kimball too. I mean, there was so many times I heard African, I'm like, wow, that's a really cool song. And now I'll be able to play it, you know?
Yeah.
With the guy that sang it, which is cool, you know?
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
How did you bring all these people together then?
It's all something that, you know, there's some kind of connection somewhere with everybody that's with us. Jolyn Turner actually wrote a couple of Bonfire songs. He wrote Sweet Obsession. He did a song on our last album on Bite the Bullet. He did the last song on that album. So we already had a kind of connection to him. So when Hans came up with the idea, he just, you know, we put feelers out for people who'd want to do it. And that was it. Everybody said, yeah, sure, let's go, man. Let's go do it.
Yeah, it must be fun to be able to get out and do things like that and really have the... You know, I mean, that's the nice thing about being in Germany, and I think having that real cachet with the fans to be able to pull this kind of thing out and do it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you could even tell I'm in Germany. Can you hear the bells?
We can, yeah, yeah, you bet. Yeah. They're actually, yeah. Like, it's just giving a little bit of class to the show, a little bit of, you know, color. Yeah, it's all good.
Class, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, when I grew up in New York City, so, you know, at 12 o'clock, they would blow the fire whistle. At noon, you know, to let everybody know it's 12 o'clock, you know, and they used to do stuff like this in the U.S. Now you don't really see it anymore, but they still do it here in Germany. The church bells ring, you know, at certain hours and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool. It's a great place. I mean, if you never came to Germany to visit, you absolutely should. It's beautiful. And the food is great. The people are great. It's really nice.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm so much more interested in going to Germany.
I've spent a little time.
And I already was.
Yeah, not much time there. Yeah, just a little bit. Like I say, when visiting, you know, family from Denmark, whatever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But not as much as I'd like to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Denmark's beautiful, too.
Yeah, yeah. The Denmark is fun. You know, it's crazy to see, you know, women that look like supermodels serving at McDonald's. And it's quite a place.
you know, absolutely. Germany's kind of the same thing, I think, but
yeah,
definitely. Cool. Definitely. All right, Brett, did you have any other questions? I think an hour was our time. Obviously, he's got Hans there, so he doesn't want to keep talking to us when.
Because, yeah, it sounds like you're on your way to someplace else.
Actually, we are, actually. Hans is playing a party with his daughters. They do, like, a family acoustic thing, you know. And since I'm here,
recording
I'm
recording it, right?
No.
On your phone, at least, just to give us an MP3 file? Or... Come
on. Yeah.
You could just send that to us.
Yeah.
We won't share it.
I'm actually doing the sound tonight. So.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, so that's why Hans is here. He's here to pick me up.
Okay.
Nice.
Well, you know, there's, you know, time, just one last time. Just go ahead, Ronnie, and plug your stuff here. Let everybody know where they can find it, and they definitely should find it. And thanks again, also for your time. You've been fantastic.
Oh, of course, great. It was great talking to you guys, and yeah, hopefully we get to talk again.
Oh, for
yeah,
sure.
No, so, how's tomorrow?
Okay, sounds good. Call me back tomorrow. So Bonfire is www.bonfire.de. Don't forget the DE, because otherwise you'll end up at somewhere else. Who knows? And also we have
something that Hans wants, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So Temple of Lies is available on AFM Records. Pretty much everywhere that you can buy records, you can get it. iTunes, everywhere. Amazon. We have a tour starting now in April 28th, and we finish October 28th, I think, in Ibiza, Spain. We'll be performing at Wacken this year. In November, we have Bonfire and Friends. That'll be a tour from November 2nd to November 21st. All over Germany, and I think we have one date in Czech Republic or Switzerland or somewhere. Then in 2019, Bonfire will be performing in a musical, writing music here in Ingolstadt, Germany, called The Nibelungen. And that's all I got. Thank you. And that's all I got right now.
Awesome.
Oh, man. Brett, do you think he can book leather?
That was enough for you. That was enough for you, right?
Oh yeah, totally. You know it. Yeah, we were talking to Leather Leone, and she really wants to play Wacken. So
yeah, we told her we'd try for her. Word. Apparently, you have better connections.
Yeah, actually, we're gonna be doing Wacken, and we actually, believe it or not, we have a Bonfire train. It's a real train, and it's painted with the Bonfire logo on and everything. And we're taking this train from Ingolstadt all the way to Wacken, and we have room for 300 passengers. And it's a free ride, actually. So all you have to do is contact us about the ride on bonfire.de, and you get a free ride to Wacken.
That is really cool.
Yeah, and we'll be performing the full fireworks album in its entirety.
Brett, so let's go buy some plane tickets to Germany now.
Yes.
Yeah, come on, you got a free train ride.
Wow.
No doubt. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I really want to go.
Will there, just out of curiosity, will there be any German beer on that train ride?
Of course.
Of course.
So.
That's fantastical. Ronnie Parks, thank you so much for coming on. We wish you and Bonfire all the best, and Hans and everybody, and tell him thank you for,
say bye,
saying
Hans.
Hi.
Say bye.
Bye-bye.
That's a cameo for
you. Yeah.
Tremendous.